with Mark Schlereth from ESPN, who's done a great job covering the NFL, and a guy that was always a legend when I started with the Chiefs, a guy that ran roughshod through the Chiefs more than a couple times. Floyd Little, how are you, my friend?
Hey, pretty good, Nick. I just talked to an old teammate of yours earlier today, Mike Pruitt.
Who'd that be? Mike Pruitt. Boy, those were the character-building years back in 87, 88 with Mike Pruitt.
Yeah, absolutely.
Hey, speaking of running backs, we had Franco Harris on the show talking about that early time in the NFL's evolution. Here's what he had to say about the Rudy family and people like Lamar Hunt and what they did for the game.
And there were times when things were tight but these guys were there from the beginning, and any time when you're in something in the beginning, I think you look at it differently because there's a lot more passion, there's a lot more love, and you know, because you're building it, you know, they, you know, this is your baby, this is your child, and I think it's just a different feeling at that time, whereas future generations look at it differently, just as you mentioned, Rick.
That's Franco here. Let's first start with Mark Schlereth. Mark, what is it about today's game that bothers you in terms of the distance that is being created between players and the fans?
I think the biggest thing that bothers me is that you know, you see selfishness, and you know, I think there's always been probably a little bit of selfishness, and guys want to have success, but guys want to have success in the team realm, and I think that's the biggest thing that really irritates me is that you see guys that have really lost the sense of team and what it means to win championships together and how everybody's got to sacrifice. And so you see that, and you see guys kind of going above the team and putting themselves first and try to elevate themselves to a higher position. And those are the things that really irritate me because, you know, I learned from guys, I learned from the older guys that kind of helped me cut my teeth in this league, and those guys learned from guys like Floyd Little, who you know was an ultimate teammate. So, I mean, that's to me what really irritates me about the league more than anything else right now.
Floyd, what do you think about that? What do you think about how you look at players that don't seem to understand just how far the NFL has come in the last 25, 30 years?
I gotta agree totally with Mark's comments. He's absolutely right. It was about team. It's about each other. I mean, I've seen guys go out there a little nicked, and the guys that play with them on the line will help them when they're blocking assignments because they know they're a little bit injured. I mean, it was about each other. It was about the team. It was about playing for the fans. And it's about team. It was all about team and winning championships, making sacrifices, doing all you can, going out there when you shouldn't be out there and your teammates helping you survive because you want to be a part of it. That's no longer the case anymore. Everybody wants individual recognition for things that they do. I hate to see guys celebrate for making a tackle. I mean, that's what they're out there to do. The game has gone too far the other way to the entertainment. In the book that I wrote, I talk about football before end zone dances and million-dollar contracts, and it has changed tremendously since my days. And Mark Schlereth could play in either era. He was a great football player. He played the game like it's supposed to be played, with intensity, with desire, and commitment, and you don't see that anymore.
Mark, let's talk about the huddle, because that's what I respect so much about you guys. You had so much camaraderie on those years when John Elway was able to take it finally to that final championship Super Bowl. Tell me about what is it about certain teams that have that sense of family and that can laugh, tell jokes, sing in the huddle in the most intense games?
Well, you know what, for me, I mean, we definitely had it in Denver, and I appreciate the kind words of Floyd, and he's long overdue to be in the Hall of Fame, Floyd, and you know that I'm pulling for you, and you should have been there a long time ago. But you know, I think it's just a sense of that family and sense of laying it on the line for one another. You know, interesting story, just in my own career, you know, I always played hurt, and people would always marvel and ask, well, why and how do you end up doing that? And And because I was taught when I came into this league that, as Floyd so eloquently put, the team comes first. It's more important to put those guys first. And so for me, I always viewed every guy on that football team, offensively and defensively, as more important than me. And it was my job to go out there, regardless of how I felt, regardless of what my circumstance might be and my injuries might be, and to go out there and try to lay it on the line for my teammates. And I think we had that sense in Denver, and I'm sure it's been carried on since Floyd Little's days and through the Orange Crust defense days, and on it goes. And that's kind of the atmosphere that was cultivated and created. And when you walk into that huddle and you know that you're going to lay it on the line for one another, and everybody is going to go in that locker room and know that they played hard and gave it up for one another, then, you know, to me, you can't lose. You may lose on the scoreboard occasionally, but for the most part, there is no losing when everybody's got that attitude.
Hey, our friend Bubby Brister, of course, he helped me. He'd walk past my locker when we were like 3-13, and he'd blow a burp in my direction, you know, and, you know, some very classy moves like that.
Right.
But he helped us laugh, and when I saw him going to back up John Elway, I always thought this is going to be great for John, because here's a guy that will refuse to let John take things too seriously. Tell me about the effect of Bubby and what he did in the huddle for your team.
Bubby, you know, he coined the phrase, so eloquently coined the phrase camaraderie ship. And Bubby, you know, was not not anybody's Rhodes Scholar for certain, and you know, neither am I. But Bubby was doing an interview about what this team meant to him, and how much he loved playing with everybody, and how much it was just so much fun to go out there, and all the camaraderie ship we had. And so from that point on, that was a real rallying cry during our two Super Bowl victories there in Denver, was to jump on the ship, and that's the camaraderie ship, baby, and we're going. And Bubby was, you know, Bubby was a clown. He was always goofing and always having a good time. And, you know, I'm sure every football team, and I'd love to hear Floyd's interpretation of the guys that were those guys for the Denver Broncos back in those AFL days, because everybody needs one of those guys that brings comic relief and a little bit of levity, because game of football is a tough game. There's no question about it, and you need those guys. So, Floyd, you have any of those guys on your team from back in the day?
Mark,
just a few,
Mark,
right?
I wish that I had the opportunity to play with you, Mark. You're one of the best, but it was about family. I think Nick mentioned early, and talking about that family thing. We were a family. We were able to agree to agree and agree to disagree. But one of the things that we came to play, in the last minutes of the game, we had no chance of winning. You could still see guys working their tails off to make something happen, even though we couldn't win. And, you know, I see guys lay down in the day and they don't do that. But we had a lot of clowns on our team. Everybody had clowns on their team. Jerry Simmons, the great Jerry Simmons, a wide receiver, now, you know, works for Hyatt out of L.A., out of San Francisco now. I've been there with him for about 33 years. He was our clown. He would always do things. He put stuff in your jockstrap. You know, that thing, you know, you guys know
right.
What that stuff is that got hot.
Yeah.
And, oh, yeah.
Always did things like that. We had another guy named Fred Forsberg, who played for University of Washington, was a linebacker for us for many, many years. And did a great job for us. But you always have to have guys like that. One of the great things I know about John Elway is you did the game for ESPN, Mark. It was a game that
right.
Elway All-Stars played against Joe Montana All-Stars.
Yes.
I got a chance to play in the same game with John Elway. It was the greatest experience of my life, because I can imagine what he was like doing game situations in the huddle. He had a ball in the huddle. He seems to have been a clown as well. And you probably, I don't know if you came in the tail end with Randy Gratishar.
No,
know Randy was the biggest clown on
yeah.
the team, and he don't appear to be that way. He was a jokester along with Tom Jackson. These guys were funny guys and did things that were great, and I've always wanted to play defense because of those two guys.
Well,
Gratishar and Jackson were the kind of guys that I wanted to play with, but I always had a chance to watch him play and not play with him.
I got to tell you something about that game, and you mentioned the All-Star game between John Elway and Joe Montana, and I ended up calling that football game. It was a flag football game, and let me tell you, it's a flag football game that in the final moments, a real football game broke out during the course of the flag football game, and
yes,
I was so impressed with Floyd, because now Floyd, has kept himself in unbelievable shape. And the competitiveness of these two football teams and the different players, and I'm talking about all kinds of all-star football players on these teams. And Floyd, I was singing your praises up from the booth because Floyd was scoring touchdowns and Floyd was blowing a shoulder and trying to protect that flag. And I was like, my Lord, because they had asked me to play in it, and I said, you know, I'm not going to play, and I'm too beat up, and I know myself, I'm the same way. When the competitive juices start flowing, man, I'm going. And these guys were really a real live football game without pads, a full contact, no pads, broke out at the end of that game, and I was like, gosh, I made the right decision not to be down there.
Guys, in the last minute we have with Mark today, because I know, Mark, we got to let you go, but I want to talk about the LT versus Jim Brown comments. I think Marty Schottenheimer was certainly the best coach I've ever played for, and he's enthusiastic, he's loyal, he's the kind of guy you want to lay it on the line for anyway, and that's why San Diego is my bet right now, is the most balanced team. But having said that, LT may be the most versatile, but do you think with today's rules, do you think Jim Brown might have had a little bit more to say about that?
Well, today's rules and Jim Brown, let me tell you, I don't think there are a lot of guys, based on the size and the strength and just how the human body has progressed and all those things, that are as athletic, you know, from the 50s and the 40s and the 60s even. And I even look at the game now and say, boy, there's no way I could play the game now that is being played. But Jim Brown is one of those guys that could play in any time, any place, anywhere, and I believe that he could come in his prime right now in the National Football League and dominate, and I really believe that.
Well, I appreciate it. We appreciate you joining us on the show today, my friend. Great job on ESPN. We hope we can have you on in a few weeks, buddy.
You got it. Thanks. And Floyd, it was great talking to you. God bless. Take care, buddy.
Happy holidays, Mark.
You can be my teammate anytime, buddy. When we come back, some more with Floyd Little, great running back, should be in the Hall of Fame, about his book on head games, Sports Byline, and SiriusXM.